This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
Hey, Commodores. Welcome to Commons Cast. This is Aygan Iscario, and welcome back to another episode of Q&A with the Dean. Welcome back, Dean Grisolfi. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thanks.
So I want to talk about student involvement on campus, specifically as rising sophomores. I've noticed that a lot of the leadership roles in the different orgs that I'm a part of are occupied by either sophomores or seniors, partly because sophomores need more experiences to put on resumes, and partly because those who are soon to be graduates want to end their Vanderbilt career with a seat at the table. How would you advise us as sophomores to go about pursuing leadership and involvement on campus?
Well, I'm not sure that it's that different from finding the student orgs you're interested in to begin with. So, beware trying to take on too many positions at once. So what I would do is think about the orgs that you're most passionate about, and then think about the kinds of experiences that you want to have for yourself. What are you already good at? And what are some skills that you need to grow? So, if you tend to be somebody who's really comfortable doing something like PR, sophomore year is a great time to try something that's a little bit different, you know? And just because something's been comfortable for you doesn't mean that it's the only thing that you can do. But I would be aware of like doing too many things, right? Because I think, it feels really terrible when you've agreed to do something and then you have to step back. Yeah. You know, it's better to try to add more once you know that you're able to. So I would start small. I would start with the org that you're most excited about. And, you know, also sometimes there aren't leadership opportunities available, or you don't end up getting that leadership opportunity. And, you know, that's okay too. First of all, there's more than one org that you might be a part of. And second, being able to think about why maybe you didn't get it and using that year to get more involved in the org and make yourself more competitive junior year is a great thing to do as well.
Gotcha. Thank you so much. So on the topic of wrapping up our freshman year and acknowledging the fact that there are career fairs coming up that are specifically targeting sophomores, I was just wondering how we could prepare earlier than that and like stay ahead of the curve instead of just, I don't know, waiting for the time to come by and it's time to put on your suit and go to the companies and not knowing what to expect or how to prepare for that.
Well, first of all, I think if we're constantly preparing, we're not always living our everyday life. And so this is really hard for Vanderbilt students, I know, but we don't always need to be planning for tomorrow. Sometimes you could just enjoy today. So I don't think you need to spend a tremendous amount of time preparing for something that's not going to happen until the fall.
Okay.
However, if there are some things that you, if you are someone who, for whom that advice sounds terrible and there is no enjoying today without understanding what's going to happen tomorrow, then the thing to do is make an appointment with the career center and find out a little bit more about what would be expected at that career fair. What should you be prepared to do? So will you need to have a resume? And if so, how does your resume look? What should you wear? And like, how could you access clothing if you don't have a suit? And suits are really expensive. So are there more affordable ways to get business attire? And the answer is yes, there are. Or would you have an impromptu interview at the career fair? Like, what kinds of questions could you expect? And that is exactly what the Career Center knows all about. So talk to them. But mostly, I would not stress out over much about something that is not going to happen for a while, because I do think that we have, especially people who tend to be kind of achievement-oriented, which many Vanderbilt students are, it's easy to lose track of the joy of the everyday and stressing out about what's coming.
For sure. And on the topic of, like, having not-so-affordable professional wear, I know Rand has a thrift store that people can go to. There's always suits there. I see them, and people just drop them off, and you can get them for free. So that's a great resource. Also on the topic of, like, questions that an employer might ask you or, like, what to expect, if you were an employer at a career fair and you were seeking out sophomores, what would be one question you would expect them to be able to answer?
Well, that's an interesting question to ask me, who's never really ever left a university campus. And so I'm not exactly a typical employer. But if I had to guess and channel my husband right now, because he owns a marketing and branding company, I think the two things I would want to learn more about is your work ethic and the way you respond to failure and crisis. And so a question, actually, we ask this question in residential colleges when we interview prospective job applicants, and I can't imagine that it feels to me like this question would be relevant for any job. The question is, tell us about a time when something you worked hard on didn't work out the way you planned or outright failed. What did you do? And to me, because sad news, things go wrong all the time, right? Like you work really hard and you think you've done everything possible, and then something just flops, someone doesn't like the idea, or people don't show up. There's all kinds of things that can happen. And that's just part of any life. And so it's really how you respond to that that I think is what matters. And so that would be one question that I would really ask about. Work ethic is also another one. Like how do you think about, what is your, how to say, I haven't ever asked this question, so I'm not sure that I have a good interview question for it, but I would really want to know about like, how do you decide when you're finished at something, right? Or how do you decide what to work on next? Because for me, I guess this is a little bit more about initiative than work ethic, but the people who are most frustrating for me to work with personally are people who wait to be told what to do and do exactly what I said.
Really?
Yes. I want you to do what I asked, okay. But I'm like, you know, I would really like you to say, you know, for example, well, you asked me to create this spreadsheet. But while I was creating this spreadsheet, excuse me, I actually thought that it would be interesting to also know this thing. So in this tab, I also created this version of the spreadsheet in case that's useful, right? So it shows me that you're intellectually engaged with the task. You're not just a machine executing my orders. And that kind of intellectual curiosity is what makes it fun to work with someone, right? Because then I've learned from that person, like, oh, I didn't even know I wanted that. But now that you've made it, that's so much better than what I asked for in the first place.
That makes so much sense. Going above and beyond what is expected of you. Really helps.
Well, but also showcasing your own thinking too, right? It's not only about trying to like do more. It's also about bringing yourself to the task.
For sure. Thank you so much for all of these valuable advice, Dean Grisolfi, and for joining us today. A big thank you to all of our listeners. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Q&A with the Dean. This is Aygan Iscario. Till next time. And next up is this week's comments calendar.
Hey Doors, I'm Daniela Aguilar, and I'm hosting this week's Commons Calendar where I fill you in on upcoming events at Vanderbilt. First up, on Wednesday, March 22nd, you can join the Undergraduate Business Minor for their Advice with a Slice series session, where they will discuss project management and how to launch your career in the field. There will also be free pizza, door prizes, and most importantly, advice. Even though Women's History Month is almost at an end, that doesn't mean you need to stop learning from the experiences of women. What better way to do this than to read a book written by a woman? Stop by the Women's Center to pick up a free book. A few available books include Saved by a Song, Their Eyes Were Watching God, Vanguard, Period, and many more. I hope to see you there. Next up is a party that I, along with the rest of the Mexican American Student Association Executive Board, planned, Vaquero Night. If you're looking for a night full of Latin music and amazing energy, make sure to stop by the Multicultural Community Space on Friday, March 24th between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. You don't want to miss it. Mark your calendars, Vivid is proud to present you the second annual K-pop dance battle happening on Saturday, March 25th. Come cheer on beloved My Commons Life member Esme as she competes in a dance-off. It's gonna be great. Lastly, on the 26th, the Commons Cup volleyball tournament will be taking place. Whether you're serving the bar or just cheering on your team, you can earn points for your Commons house. Looking forward to seeing you there. And with that, we're at the end of this week's Commons Calendar. There is always something fun to do when you're at Vanderbilt. Thank you for listening. Now, on to the Humans of the Commons segment.
Hey Doors, I'm Aygan Iscario, a first-year student here at Vanderbilt and your host for this week's Human of the Commons interview. My guest is Sydney Grossman, a first-year student from Rochester, New York, majoring in political science with a Jewish studies minor. She also lives in North House. Sydney, thanks so much for joining me today.
Of course. I'm so excited to be here.
So me and Sydney know each other because we both work with the Vandy ice hockey team. So can you talk a little bit about what made you feel passionate about going into that kind of world of sports, and if that had anything to do with your background as a child?
Well, actually, yeah. I grew up watching a lot of different sports. I always told my dad that he doesn't have a son to watch sports with, but he has me. So we grew up watching a lot of football. The Islanders are my favorite hockey team. They used to be really bad, and then they started getting good again. So my dad started watching, and I was like, what is that? I don't know what that is. So I would say maybe when I was like 10, 12, we started watching, and like we have watched basically every single Islanders game since then, which is a lot. They're every 2-3 days, which is kind of nuts.
That's crazy.
But I also like grew up knowing that I wanted to be a lawyer. My sister was like, never knew, because I have a twin sister, and people would be like, what do you want to be when you grow up? She was like, an astronaut or a princess or something crazy. And I was always like, lawyer. It was very obvious.
As you should.
And then when I was a senior in high school, I was sort of trying to figure out like what kind of law I wanted to go into. Because I knew I wanted to do corporate. Like I did mock trial in high school, and I was like, trial law is not for me. No, thank you. But I decided I wanted to do sports law. So I figured joining something that has to do with sports here at Vandy would be a good way to sort of show interest in that and in my extracurriculars.
That's so cool. Okay. I was going to say, like, the way all these different things, like, you've made them into such an interdisciplinary thing where you're still doing something you're passionate about, but also, like, going into a job that you really wanted, that you, like, set for yourself, I think is really admirable. Because not a lot of people know that earlier on, and a lot of people who try it out, don't like it, have to pivot later on. It's just like a whole ordeal, but I think you're on track so far. So can you talk a little bit about what it's like being a political science major on Vandy's campus so far?
I actually applied as a philosophy major. I really didn't want to go into poli sci because so many pre-law students are, which isn't a bad thing. It just, you know, that's what interests us.
Makes you basic.
Right? Probably. But no, I took a upper level poli sci class my first semester because I'd taken AP Gov in high school and I really enjoyed it. And then I started looking at some of the other classes and sort of looking at them versus philosophy or other majors that I had considered. And I was like, this is just what seems the most interesting to me. And I already had the core done because I took both AP Govs in high school.
Yeah.
So there was no reason. Like, I didn't have to take any more intros. There was no reason not to take classes that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
And I really don't have to take that many more classes to fulfill the major. So, you know, and still, like, filling out Axel, all of those poli-sci count towards a big majority of Axel. So kind of a good blend of doing what interests me while also filling out requirements, doing a poli-sci major that really doesn't require a lot more of me than just pursuing my interests. And then I also have room for like my minor, and I'm debating adding philosophy in there somewhere.
That's so cool because it gives you more bandwidth to take classes that you might not be like initially interested in, but you're like, oh, wow, that's really something fun that I can like try out because it's fresh. Like I know some classes are taking a trip to India for spring break, or some classes only happen every 4 years. Like, have you heard about the U.S. elections class?
Yes, I'm dying to take that. I have heard so much about it. Actually, my VU Scepter told me about it because she started as public policy and ended up switching to something else. I can't remember. But she said that was like the only like public policy class she enjoyed. And I was
really?
Like, that sounds like so interesting and relatively low effort, which, you know, poli-sci can be a lot of reading. So
it sounds like a great experience.
Right. If you can take a like reading list or reading light poli-sci course, sounds great to me.
Yeah. And speaking of venturing outside of like traditional political science classes in that realm, you also mentioned that you're pursuing a Jewish studies minor. So can you talk a little bit about what it's been like exploring that side of your identity and also how it's like being Jewish at Vandy?
Yeah, it's actually really interesting because I'm from New York and a lot of people think that New York is super, super Jewish, which parts of it totally are. Long Island, downstate, New York City, Westchester is super, super Jewish. But where I came from is a very anti-Semitic area, actually.
Oh.
And my city was really impacted by redlining. So there's like a lot of people of color in the city still, a lot of white people are in the suburbs. And then in between, there's like one small little town that has a lot of Jewish kids, which I didn't live in.
Oh.
I lived near. It's like that's where my temple was. That's where my Jewish friends were.
Mm-hmm.
But growing up, I was like one of the only Jewish kids in my grade. So coming to Vandy and having Hillel, and I actually did something called Fish Fest, which is like a pre-orientation thing. So I came here a few days early, got to meet a lot of people at Hillel, be introduced to Hillel. And now I'm super involved. I'm on the committee of first year engagement. Like, I go to a bunch of events, a bunch of Shabbat dinners. And it's just like really nice to feel like safe here because everyone is like pretty accepting, and it's not like hurting people because of their differences. It's really like lifting each other up.
Yeah.
It's a very like collaborative university rather than competitive, which is really important to me. But then, you know, for Axel, I had to take a language, and I took Latin in high school, and I took AP Latin's junior year. So I hadn't taken it for a year, and Latin is in the classics department. And I was like, I don't want to mess with that. We don't have to do that. I'll find something different. So I decided to go with Hebrew because I had learned how to read it. I didn't know what anything meant because I went to Hebrew school.
Right.
And I was an assistant teacher at Hebrew school. I was very involved with my own temple. And at my school, I made like the Jewish community club. So I was very involved at home, but I wanted to kind of continue that at school. And I knew I had that through Hillel, but I was like, as long as I can pick a new language and I have a semi background on this one, there's no reason not to pick Hebrew. And then, you know, a bunch of kids in my Hebrew class were all very Jewish. And we were kind of just talking about like who's doing a Jewish studies major, because there's a kid in my class doing that. And I was like, huh, maybe there's a minor. Like we can see. And I know minors are only 18 credits. It's really not a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm taking two semesters of Hebrew for Axel. So, hey, what's a Jewish studies minor? Like, it's a huge part of my identity and the people I'm around. So there's no reason not to use those Hebrew credits that I'm getting for Axel, and also taking other classes that are interesting to me through my identity as well.
For sure. I think having a community that fosters your psychological safety, the point where you're comfortable enough to explore those leadership roles, to explore those like higher learning pathways to that relate to your identity that you didn't think like fit into that before. Like, I think that's really important, and I'm glad you found that here. And I also, we were talking before, and you mentioned that you were also part of other leadership positions outside of Hillel, which I think is awesome. Super, super great that you've been able to like put yourself in positions where you're being heard and you're being able to influence how things work, how things run. And I know you mentioned that you work for, you're on the board for Door for a Day. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Door for a Day was kind of one that snuck up on me. Like, I feel like when I came to college, I was very conscious of the extracurricular activities that I was joining, because in high school, it's very easy to be sort of involved in everything.
Yeah.
And in college, you sort of have to pick and choose a little more, which is fine. It's just when you're going to the org fair and you're seeing like hundreds of booths and you're trying to figure out what to do, it becomes a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
But I found it relatively easy to kind of pick what I wanted to narrow down into. And hockey was a huge one for me. Like, I came in knowing that that was something I wanted to do. Hillel, same thing. And I was kind of looking for another thing that wasn't like super dominated by one aspect or another. Like, it wasn't totally sports. It wasn't totally like religious. And it wasn't totally like didn't fit just in one category. So I sort of saw Door for a Day, actually, because I met Sarah West at Fish Fest through Hillel.
I love her.
And she's the sixth floor RA of North.
Yeah.
So we saw each other, and she was like, hey, like, there's Door for a Day interest meeting. Like, I don't know if you're interested in that, but if you wanted to come to that, that would be super cool. And I was like, actually, like, yes, that does sound really cool. So I went to the interest meeting, and I applied. I was nervous because it was an application-based club, which Vinny actually doesn't have a lot of, which I was nervous about, because a lot of people at, like, very competitive institutions have that, which we don't really.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But there's a few of them. So it was a little intimidating, but I applied, I went for it, and I got in, and I was super excited. And, you know, it's like, I was interested in tour guides too, but that's kind of a big commitment. Like, tour for a day was every other week for like one day a week. It's kind of just like adding an extra class into your schedule, not even.
True.
And then, you know, a bunch of the exec members went abroad this spring, and there were some openings on the board, so I applied for them, and I made it.
You got it.
I got it, right? And it's really fun, because I sort of get to meet so many other people in the org. And then also, like, I get to match people with their hosts, which I think is really fun. A little stressful, a little bit, but it's really fun. It's fun. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I feel like I know a lot more people through it, not just freshmen. Like, it's an easy way to get to know other people in different grades.
And the incoming freshman class, since you get to tour them around.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's actually really interesting because throughout the whole year, it's been like a bunch of prospective students. And now we're finally getting to students that have been accepted and are going here, which is really interesting to see that sort of shift and sort of see like, oh, like maybe I'll see your face on campus next year.
For sure.
Which is really interesting.
And it's so much more rewarding if the person who comes here also got accepted to other schools and they're like, I'm still deciding. And you tour them around and then later on they're like, wow, like you're actually the reason why I chose Vanderbilt. And I'm like, that's amazing. Like I couldn't ask for anything more.
Right. Like it's absolutely wild. I had a girl I toured around, like we're only allowed to give out our emails. We're not allowed to give out social media or phone number or anything like that. But when I give them my email, like a lot of them are like, oh, I'm not going to send an email. Like it doesn't matter. But when you get those few people who do,
yeah,
you're like, oh my gosh, like, wow. Didn't even think that it's so like such a huge experience because I didn't do tour for a day. I wish I had known about it because I would have.
Right.
But I just think it's a really cool opportunity for someone to see like an actual day at Vanderbilt. I feel like tours are a little bit hectic and there's a lot of people that you don't know. So it can be kind of nerve wracking to even ask a question. But when it's kind of one on one, just a much easier way to like directly interact with someone and the school, I feel like.
For sure. Also, I think you mentioned that you were kind of deciding between Door for a Day and Vandy tour guides. And you mentioned one aspect of that decision was the time commitment. Is there anything else that you're like, I prefer Door for a Day or I think Vandy tour guides does that better?
Well, I definitely think that the training process with tour guides is like a lot. Like you have to shadow a lot of people. You have to go on a lot of like, I think you have to start leading like smaller tours. I don't totally know the procedure, but I know that the training process is pretty crazy. They have to know like a bunch of facts about campus, like specific facts. Tour for a Day, I feel like, is a lot more chill because you're matched up with someone who's like studying something similar to you. So you kind of know, like, you know what you're talking about. You don't have to go through the whole protocol of like learning all of this stuff. Like, oh, you're an ANS. Like, okay, I'll tell you about Axel and I'll take you to Buttrick because like everyone ends up in Buttrick. Or like, hey, you're engineering. Like, let's go to Feathering Hill. It's like a very easy way to sort of have a similar type of experience as a tour, but for also sure. not have to know all like the very, very specific nitty gritty details.
For sure. Okay, so we're done talking about leadership because I feel like we've explored that a lot. So now let's venture back to commons because this is my commons life. I'm going to ask you a series of quick questions. Go I want to ask you for a hot take. What's the worst commons meal you've had?
That's a good question. I mean, I feel like I just don't really gravitate towards going to commons.
Okay.
Like maybe for a semester I did more because I would go for lunch. Like I would get out to class and it would be lunchtime and I liked the whatever Mediterranean bowls that they sometimes have going on. But I don't know. Like I think it's like just like for me, the sandwich bar is super lackluster. Like I'm not like so many people are like, oh, I want to go out and get a sub. I'm not that girl. I'm just not. So for me, a sandwich is nothing.
Really? I will admit that a sandwich is a safe bet when you're like looking at the other options. You're like, right. I don't want a heavy meal, but I also need to eat. So like, let me get a sub. But I will say Zeppo's sandwiches slap so hard if you've ever had them.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm just really not like, it's a safe option. Like I remember going towards it a few times, but I'm just like never happy with it. Like I'm just, I don't know if I'm like really happy with the sandwich anytime in general, but like that's probably just me because I know a lot of people like
it. Okay, but what's your sandwich order?
I would usually get some sort of like rye with turkey, usually Swiss, and then tomato, lettuce, cucumber, olive, and a little bit of pesto.
See, that's why you're not having fun.
What do you suggest?
What's your suggestion? Either ciabatta if they have it or the pretzel buns. And then you get the ham. And then if they do have it, the chicken tenders. And then you get Swiss with that. And then after, you get spicy mayo with aioli. And that's it.
I'm not like a pretzel roll gal. I've done the ciabatta before.
Ciabatta's good.
Yeah, it's good. I just usually do the rye because it's lighter. Like, I feel like the ciabatta is a lot. And I just, turkey, like, sometimes cold cuts freak me out. I'm not going to even lie. But, like, turkey is safe.
But turkey is also one of the hardest meats to, like, cook. Like, I think I was watching, like, Hell's Kitchen or something. And they were like, turkey's really hard to, like, spice up because it's so, like, it's not like chicken where it's easy to
kind of
spice up. You have to really work hard to get the flavor in there and like beat it in there.
That's actually so funny. I never even thought of that.
No, yeah. Because like when my mom like had a burst vein or something and she had to like go on like a really low sodium diet so her blood pressure goes down, everything was like low sodium. Like we switched to turkey instead of like all the different meats, and it really helped her, but like it tasted like nothing. Mm-hmm. Like it's very hard to get turkey right, you know?
Yeah, that's actually really valid.
Yeah.
Like I'm not a turkey gal on Thanksgiving either. Like I'll have a little. It's all about the sides.
Oh, that's also for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Ham is better than turkey in my opinion. Like the
ham. Wow, that's like such a big debate. Like I remember really? My friends going back and forth for Thanksgiving. Like, what are you having?
Dude, no. If it's ham and then there's like crusty outside and it's honey glaze.
Like a glaze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really good. Mm. Okay, next question. Do you think Commons dining is pretty good with like kosher options?
It's, to be honest, there are so many like intricacies of kosher, like the kosher diet. I don't personally follow it, but I know a lot about it. It's just very difficult to follow when you don't know exactly, like especially when you're having protein and meat, because that has to be like kosher. Like it's a kind of a like weird process. But honestly, any dining other than 2301 is a little bit difficult, just because 2301 is like, you know exactly like where everything's coming from. Like it's not, and honestly, like eating vegetarian is usually the easiest option on campus for that. So I think 2301 Rand, like places where you can sort of like make your own sandwich or make your own bowl is easier, just because you can see exactly what's going into it. And again, like eating vegetarian is just the easiest way to like not have to worry about the meat.
That's fair. And just so we end on a positive note, what's the best meal you've had at Commons?
Ooh, at Commons? I really like those Mediterranean bowls.
Really?
Like a lot of the times they'll have like some really nice brown rice and they'll have some sort of fun like teriyaki chicken, and you can go, you can put like your spinach and your avocado and your corn and your all the goods and some tzatziki. And
you know the best part of those bowls?
Hmm?
The crunchy chickpeas.
Ugh, yes.
They just make every bowl.
And then Commons, this not just at Commons, but if you want like to get something nice to drink, you get lemonade, you fill it miles away, but you put a little cranberry juice in it.
I've heard about that.
I love
it's
love.
So good. So good.
It's so good.
Well, anyways, thank you, Sydney, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you to all of our listeners. This has been Humans of the Commons with your host, Aigen. Till next time.
CommonsCast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of student media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to CommonsCast at Apple Podcasts or via your favorite podcast app.